Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Blog Talk Radio.
In a little tent, and oh, just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. But I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. So now I go to my. And I say, brother, help me see. But somehow he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there were times I thought I wouldn't last. I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Yes, it will. Oh, I know a change gonna come. I said I know.
Of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and thank God for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly salamjournal.com and salamjournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Woo! That was a mouthful. All praise is due to Allah, brothers and sisters. I'm glad and I'm blessed to be standing here before you with another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. This is your platform, the platform for Black America and the liberation of our minds spiritually, culturally, and mentally from the shackles of Yakub. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled News, Prophecy, and the End of Days. Brothers and sisters, I want to get to you and talk to you a little bit. I'm going to be going from subject to subject because we're talking on a lot of the things that are going on in the news, so you bear with me. But it all comes back to the news, prophecy, and the end of days and why we're looking at all of these things taking place. Remember, we talked about Africa freeing herself from the grip of this Caucasian man. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says Africa will do this and will do it soon. So the white man sees this going on, and all of this, again, for those of you who may be new listeners to the show, I have to say this because I'm not speaking to a small audience. I'm speaking to thousands, tens of thousands of listeners who listen to the show. So when I say something or if I have to repeat something over and over again, it's for those who may not get it or those who have just tuned in and missed certain parts of the show. So those of you who get it and follow along, be patient with your brother. I have to do these things, okay? So let's go to this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that Africa would free herself from the grip of the white man, and she would do so soon. And he tells us, and we read it on about two shows ago, that the black man in America would have to be freed on the order of God, by God himself, and by God alone. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. It's in the fault, it's in the message to the black man, it's in Isaiah has arrived, it's in the theology of time, it's in the fall of America, it's in all of the books. You just have to read this. But what I'm laying the base for something, I want you to see that when you're looking at the situation that is in Africa, you're screaming for the liberation of Africa when Africa is going to free herself because she has the financial means to do so. She has the political means to do so. She has more unity than you, though she is not a reflection of who she once was. She is yet in a better position to free herself than you and I are. We are in the midst of the beast. We are trapped by this beast. We have been held hostage for nearly five centuries. We have been robbed of knowledge of self, the love for self, and unity. So it takes a power greater to intervene to free us. But Africa's freedom and Africa's desire and move towards freedom will play a part in your liberation. God set these things in motion, just like with China doing what she's doing. All of that is a part of your salvation. We reflect on Africa because I want to talk to you about something, brothers and sisters, and I always ask you to do this. Study what I am saying. And even if you cannot find what I am saying, look at the merits of how it translates America would be forced out of the Near East, and we told you that this Near East meant North Africa and what is now called the Middle East. We told you, and no one else was speaking on this, about how Libya would play a part in the fall of America, right? What is all over the news today? When America said yesteryear she had pulled out of Libya, we told you don't believe it, right? We told you that the messenger said that it wouldn't be that easy, that Libya would keep attracting America back. See, she's spending her what little treasuries that she has, what she has to borrow from others, she's spending that trying to bomb North Africa and the Middle East into subjugation and submission to the will of her brothers and sisters to keep them happy so that she can also dominate and rule and get the resources. But all of this is for a price. She stretched thin. She's bankrupt morally, spiritually, and economically. We're seeing the passing of days now, and all of the news is verifying prophecy. And we're seeing that we're living in the end of days. Muhammad says Libya would play a part in the fall of America. What is happening in America right now? There's a great divide. There's a great racial explosion of division and hatred and animosity. And right so by the black man against his former oppressors. Right? Economically, she's in dire straits. She's bankrupt and just pumping money into the system to try to keep it going one more hour, one more minute, or one more day. So we're seeing America's fall. And then if we look over to the east and we see her in Africa and in the Middle East, what does this tell us? That we are living in the fall of America. If Elijah Muhammad said that Libya would play a part in the fall of America, and America is in Libya now with special forces and with troops and with warplanes, what are we living in? The fall of America, right? I want to play two short clips. One is about 5 minutes, about 6 minutes, and one is about 2 minutes, because I want to get this out of the way, this connection with Africa and the black man and the fulfillment of prophecy. I want to get this out of the way because I want to then connect it to the economic issues that are lying at the heart of America and Europe's run towards Africa and their constant oppression of you and repression of your rights. All of this stuff is interconnected and intertwined. But let's go quickly to, and remember this, the first one that I'm playing is something that happened 3 days ago, 4 days ago. So actually, we're not in the second day of airstrikes. We're in the sixth day of airstrikes, something like that, on Libya. And America has deployed gunships, F-16s, and F-15s, and F-18 Hornets in Libya, bombing them. And Italy, the former colonial master of Libya, is allowing America to use bases there and allowing America's warplanes, air rights to go through Libyan, Italy's airspace. So all of these people are working together to suppress the rise of Africa because they know if they lose Africa, they've lost it all, raw material, free labor, and a chance to subject their former slaves. They're losing it all, black man and black woman, and it's coming down hard. Let me get to this real quick, and then we're going to go back to something. You'll hear what this white man is telling you about why they destroyed Libya and all of this. And this will go back. It's a click in your head because we talked about this 4 years ago, 5 years ago, okay? But first, I want you to hear this 5-minute clip here, 6-minute clip.
Now, U.S. airstrikes on the Libyan city of Sirte continue for a second day, as Libyan forces say they are gaining control of larger areas. The United Nations-backed government of Libya, based in Tripoli, said its forces have purged a central district of Daesh terrorists. The clashes left 5 government forces dead and 17 others wounded. Meanwhile, U.S. President Barack Obama defended the airstrikes, saying they are important for America's national security interests. Libyan authorities said the U.S. airstrikes targeted several different areas in Sirte. The coastal city has been controlled by ISIL or Daesh for more than a year. Since the group is losing large areas in Iraq and Syria, a defeat in Sirte would be a major blow to the terrorists. Let's speak to Jeremy Hammond. He's a publisher of the Foreign Policy Journal, and he joins us via Skype from Michigan. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Mr. Hammond. Now, the situation in Libya is quite confusing, to say the least. However, let's just focus right now on these U.S. airstrikes. What do you make of them?
Anyone who thinks that doing more of the same that caused the problem in the first place, you know, this is ridiculous. Doing more of the same that caused the problem isn't going to solve the problem. ISIL was created from U.S. foreign policy and its interventions in the region, starting with its war of aggression against Iraq, and then its intervention in Syria. And the Western mainstream media has had a propaganda narrative about Syria, and which is basically says that the problem there has been a lack of U.S. intervention, and Obama waited too long to intervene in Syria. This is pure nonsense, because what actually happened was that we know that as early as 2012, the CIA was intervening to funnel arms to rebel armed groups in Syria. And by the fall of 2012, most of those arms had wound up in the hands of Islamic extremists. This was reported in October 2012 by none other than the New York Times before it became, you know, convenient to forget that fact, and it went down the memory hole. And in August of 2012, the Defense Intelligence Agency warned in a memo that Western government's policy of arming rebels in Syria would result in the establishment of what they called an Salafist principality, what we now know as the Islamic State, in Syria. So more bombing and more violence and more intervention is not the solution. This is the problem. And then we have the intervention in Libya, which was authorized by the UN to the extent that the UN authorized a no-fly zone to protect civilians. The US and its NATO allies immediately exceeded that mandate and violated the UN Charter and international law by engaging in a bombing campaign to implement regime change, and destroyed that country and tore that country apart too. So doing more of these things and more intervention is just not the solution to the problem.
Right, but then, Mr. Hammond, then what is the solution over here? Because we have the U.S. airstrikes. There's a French presence also over there. There's Daesh or ISIL present on Libyan soil trying to gain territory. Different militant factions are fighting with each other, and no functional government.
Yeah, and this is all a consequence of foreign intervention in Libya. This wouldn't be happening today in Libya if there hadn't have been a NATO campaign to overthrow its government. It's a mess now. It's a good question. What are we supposed to do about it? But I think the first thing that could be done is just to stop doing the things that are causing the problems in the first place. Stop the foreign intervention, just to start with. Beyond that, I mean, once we take that first step, then we can discuss, well, what can happen next? Maybe international peacekeeping forces or other efforts along those lines, perhaps, and allow the people of the region to manage their own affairs. I think that would be the first thing. But these foreign interventions that come and just rip apart the fabric of society, you know, Iraq being the epitome of an example of foreign intervention just destroying an entire nation, just ripping the country apart. So I think these military interventions, they might have their place as far as humanitarian interventions, but most humanitarian interventions are conducted under the guise of humanitarianism, like the intervention in Kosovo, which the bombing campaign actually produced the ethnic cleansing that it was cited as a pretext for the bombing. You know, these kind of interventions, they're not humanitarian at all. You know, they're carried out, they're conducted out, with ulterior motives and to enforce U.S. hegemony in the region and to, you know, make sure access to oil resources and to try to, install friendly Western governments friendly to the Western governments in the Middle East, in North Africa countries. And there's always blowback. You know, these interventions, they fail. They fail to do what the policymakers intended in the first place.
Okay, let's leave it there for now. That's Jeremy Hammond, publisher with Foreign Policy Journal, joining us via Skype from Michigan. Mr. Hammond, thank you very much indeed for your comments here on Press TV, sir.
Now, I want to address some of these things because this have direct bearing on you and I, these hegemonic policies imposed on Africa and the rest of the world, okay? Look at Sudan. What, it was once one of the largest nations on earth, Sudan. Now it's broken into two nations plus a little so-called semi-autonomous nation of Darfur. Now, the reason this was broken up and the reason that it was done like that is the West did not care about, even though they said humanitarian and they wanted the people to determine their own way, but yet they don't accept Russia and Crimea. But they broke up Sudan to get all of the resources. They knew that South Sudan was a wealth bed of diamonds and oil and gas. So 2 years before there was even an agreement on referendums, Germany, France had already come to terms and had already come to agreement of what they were going to implement there. And so did some of the other European nations who were former colonial powers in Africa. It was so bad that Germany had already printed out the currency that South Sudan would use after a referendum was agreed upon and initiated. And look at South Sudan today, suffering from civil insurrection and strife using weapons that was given to them by the West. Different factions run by the West, and they're killing each other. And right now they are suffering with over 150,000 people starving to death. This is the policy of the empire. You understand? These people have to be removed off the planet Earth. Everything they touch, everywhere they go, they leave a trail of destruction and dissatisfaction, blood, guts, but no glory. God has to remove these people. And America is number one because her hegemonic policies and her actions is what leads the world to this instability. Even while she has a army full of you and I and her foot judicially and economically on our neck. Now, Muhammad says this. The white race has been disgracing the entire black nation of the earth, not just in Africa, not just here in America, but all around the globe. The white race has been doing it. Do you see what's going on in South and Central America? Millions of black people, hundreds of, even in Mexico, there's a diaspora of black people in Mexico that are not even counted as people. Millions of them. And yet the white colonial Mexicans, who are really descendants from Spain, will not recognize the indigenous Mexicans or the black people. Isn't that something? Look, you go over to Australia. As a matter of fact, I was just reading something on Australia right before the show started, right before the intro came on. They are talking about a racist cartoon in Australia from this racist newspaper. Now, mind you, they're going to talk about the Aboriginal people there who had nothing but friendship towards these people who were brought to Australia. And then, just like with the Americans, the white people, they tricked these people, killed them off, and took over their land. So there's an article talking about how they are laughing and mocking the Aboriginal people. Now, how can they mock anybody when the people from Australia, when the people from New Zealand, and when the people from America were the lowlifes and the convicts of England? How can they mock anybody? They are descendants of the lowest scum, murderers and rapists. These were outposts by England. As she expanded her empire, she would dump these people in penal colonies, jails, prison houses. Whole continents were used for that. How the hell can you mock somebody when your grandpappy is a murderer, a rapist, and a child molester? How do you have moral superiority? Think about these things. So Muhammad says, the white race has been disgracing the entire black nation of the earth. Africa is suffering under the same wicked power of the white race and having an awful time trying to rid herself of such a demon. But listen to what Muhammad says after that. She will do and Europe don't see this. This is why they import Boko Haram. This is why they import ISIS and Al-Qaeda, so that they can destabilize and suppress the rise and independence of Africa and the Middle East. All of these things are done strategically so that they can justify the deployment of military forces to maintain their grip over these former colonies. This is what they do. But the problem with today is they have debt burdens that they cannot get around. They have debt shackles that they cannot get loose. The money markets are so messed up. The debt burden is so unbelievable that they can only maintain wars for a short period of time. Isn't that something? This is how God has set a snare for them to bring them low. Then Muhammad says, here in America, Almighty Allah wants to make himself known with both the punishment and the destruction of this mighty, powerful, and rich people. How's he making himself known? Huh? By removing their might, by destroying their power, and by destroying their wealth or their riches. Are we not living in the midst of all of that? And if we are living in the midst of all of that, Muhammad says that this is the fall of America, right? And so if we're seeing these things with our eyes, and we're filling them with our bodies or our hands or whatsoever we may have, an instrument that will tell us something, then we should understand that we're living in the prophetic times of them being fulfilled. Not just when a prophet or an apostle said something and you waited 100 years or 1,000 years or 2,000 years. No, sir. We're in the culmination of all of that. We're at the end time of all of that. And God's presence is made manifest through the unfolding of world events. And we're looking at it. And we can truly say, by looking at the news, we see the fulfillment of prophecy. And it bears witness to all of us that these. Sisters, walk with me a little bit. I want you to pay close attention to this. Go to this clip here. Pay close attention. This is on the Libyan clip. This is the first clip that I wanted to play, but I played the other one just to give you an idea of what we are seeing transpiring and why they're transpiring. But this is still on the Libyan thing. And remember, Muammar Gaddafi had billions in gold reserves, billions in silver. I mean, when I say billions, I'm talking about hundreds of billions of euros worth of gold, hundreds of billions of euros worth of silver. He had put in place that man-made dam that was going to revolutionize North Africa, because Libya is sitting on a wealth of water, and he was going to turn the desert into a agricultural heartland, to enough so to feed all of the world and no longer rely on any aid coming out of Europe and America. He was going to use this agricultural product to help all of Africa become independent of their colonial masters. This is real. Matter of fact, Canada was one of the ones who was helping engineer this. And Canada, after the date of its completion, reported back to NATO headquarters and told them that the dam, the man-made dam that was going to use that untapped huge trove of water reserves, Canada says that we've done with the project. Now, after making billions of dollars in a contract with Libya, they go back behind Libya's back and go tell NATO and America, and America gives the word to start bombing. And one of the first places they bombed was some of the pipelines that was just finished. And I'm not just talking about oil pipelines. I'm talking about water pipelines. They wanted to stop the rise in the independence of Africa. And you got this tool in office at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue always talking down to you when all he's ever been is a white puppet. He's bombed more black nations than all of the rest of the presidents combined. He's bombed and destroyed more Muslim nations than all of the other presidents combined. How in the hell can he say he's for you or with you or by you when he's working against you for his oppressors? News, prophecy, and the end of days. I want you to listen to this short 2.5 minute clip and pay close attention.
Libya was destroyed by the United States and its allies, with the United States leading in terms of policy and in terms of coordination of the military activities. It was an unconventional war on Libya with U.S. Air Force and NATO allies providing air support, and the ground troops being comprised of al-Qaeda fighters and other irregulars that were trained and armed by the U.S., by the Qataris. We included Qatari command and control on the ground. There were Qatari regulars in uniform that were commanders of the fighters. They were documented, as well as Qatari arms that were captured and displayed on YouTube. And the reason that the U.S. wanted to destroy Libya was that Muammar Gaddafi was well into the process of helping to organize a United States of Africa, as it was termed, but an integrated African polity and economy, and was offering to bankroll it with Libya's wealth. That was something that runs counter. That is something that would run counter to the U.S. plans, now actualized, of installing AFRICOM on the continent, essentially recolonizing Africa. AFRICOM, which is the command and control structure of the African command that is embedded in 35 African countries now at the highest level of the military, essentially establishes U.S. military control over Africa. In other words, the U.S.'s first African-American president, and that is the son of a Kenyan, helped the United States recolonize Africa. Muammar Gaddafi was a major impediment to that effort, and he was raped and killed by U.S. proxies for his trouble, while the current Democratic presidential nominee, Hillary Clinton, whose policy that was, who shepherded it through the United Nations, laughed and said, "We came, we saw, he died. Ha, ha."
I want to show you some significance to this event that took place in Libya. Libya went from the poorest nation on the face of the planet Earth, as Colonel Gaddafi was in the military, as they took over Libya in a bloodless coup. From that point on, Libya rose in the ranks of places to live, in the best environment to study in, and became one of the most productive and successful nations on Earth in the 40-plus year span under Muammar Gaddafi. This is true. Free health, free education, gifts to the married, free food, jobs. There was when he came into power, there was, I think it was a 5% literacy rate. When after he came into power, there was a 98% literacy rate. Do you know that America is so wicked? I want you to understand the depths of how wicked this country is, because some of you may not know these things. Right before they started bombing Libya, Muammar Gaddafi was supposed to come to the United Nations and receive the United Nations Award for bringing his nation out of poverty and enjoying some of the best rights as a nation under his leadership. America got behind closed doors. Go Google this stuff. Go look this stuff up, brothers and sisters. They got behind and they put a halt to it because it would intervene or put a black eye on their plans to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi. And I want to show you just how wicked this man Obama is. Under this presidency, this man has done more to hinder the rise of black America and blacks around the world. Isn't it ironic that the man from a Kenyan, he's a son from a Kenyan father, has done the most to devastate Africa's independence and liberation? Isn't it ironic that the so-called first black president has done more to the detriment of black liberation and independence in America than the other ones combined? This was a plan, a plot. The white man is not a fool. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us that God had to be made. This God to come after us had to be made, specifically a white oppressor. But he had to raise up one, so he came under the cover of darkness and ignorance of the people. And he found a people who were considered virgin territory because they had not ever known the knowledge of themselves. They had never known the knowledge of their true place on earth. They had not known the knowledge of who God is. They have not known the knowledge of who the devil is. So God comes under the cover of ignorance and finds this virgin people called Mary. And he impregnates this people with the baby Jesus. And we gave birth to Elijah Muhammad, the Jesus. This is what the scriptures is talking about. Oh, black man and black woman, I want to talk to you for a minute. So the white man knew this, and he used his own formula, but he couldn't trust the next slave. I don't care how compliant Sharpton is. I don't care how compliant old Reverend Jackson is. He couldn't trust them because they had the same experience as the oppressed. So what he did, he got someone who was disconnected from the experience in America. And he tried to beat God by producing a half baby, black, white, and bring him up under the auspices of white thought, under the CIA, so that they can push him into office in the last days of America to trick and fool you into believing that America has changed. Why now? When everything is lost, why now? How come they didn't put one in 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? Why now? Because they want to be prophecy, and they want to take as many of you to hell as they can. This black man in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has done more to the detriment of black liberation than any of them, because he has schooled. He'll play that basketball. Ooh, you know how black people are. Ooh, he can play basketball. He'll go and try to sing to you. Ooh, look at him. And you're attracted to him because he has black skin. But in the inside, he's an Oreo. He's a cookie. Right? And his white oppressors, white masters know this. And they have used him to try to be prophets. So, let me talk to you. God is angry with this white man. He's angry with Mr. Obama. Because it was Mr. Obama that they used. Notice how much you barbed that bush for Katrina, right? And you were so dissatisfied and so mad at Bush. And remember, Mr. Kanye West gets on there and say, Bush hates black people, right? How come he ain't saying it about the whole entire black administration under Obama? If you want to come, yes, Bush was a tyrant and is a tyrant and is a murderer and is a war criminal, but so is Obama. We must be just on these things. And so he gives our brother Muammar Gaddafi a handshake and a kiss. That's the handshake and kiss of betrayal and death. The same as the Judas did. And what he did, he bombed them. And look at this. I want you to pay close attention to this. Not to add injury to insult and insult to injury. They didn't just bomb and kill the people and take over the country. If there were American and French and German special forces that captured Muammar Gaddafi, regardless of what they're telling you, that's what happened, black man and black woman. There were special forces, and they were standing on the rim of the camera, and they had brought in their puppets to pretend as though they got Muammar Gaddafi. This is how the white man works. And isn't that ironic? As soon as our brother was killed, Hillary, the war criminal Clinton, started making a joke about his death. When just a few years ago, when a soldier was paraded on TV and by people in the Middle East and they were hit with shoes and killed, how dare this is against international law. These are crimes against humanity. But to kill a head of state and drag his body through the street, that's not. Think of these things. Think of the hypocrisy and think of who is in power. This was done under a black attorney general. This was done under a black president. Yeah, sure, he don't have all the power, but that shows you the lowliness of his thinking and his morality to accept such a job. And when they killed our brother, this is the point I'm coming home with this Africa thing. And after they killed the brother, they weren't just cruel enough to kill him or cruel enough to torture him and kill him. You know what they did, brothers and sisters? They raped Muammar Gaddafi. You know that? They raped Muammar Gaddafi. They sodomized him. And then killed him under the black president. You know that? Go Google it. Okay? So, this shows you that that smile of that homosexual in the White House, that he is a betrayal of your issues, of your independence. And Muhammad said that even if they give you the White House, Allah would fill hell with you all. So if you got the White House, you would have to give so much of yourself to the people who are the powers behind the White House that would it will cause you to lose your soul. So we know that Mr. Obama has no soul. And we know that he's destined and doomed for death and destruction. And he will be disgraced on this side for the job that he's done. You're looking at him now. You're not looking at him through the lenses of prophecy. You're not looking at him through the word of God. I'm looking at him through the word of God in the lenses of prophecy. And he must receive a just due. News prophecy and the end of days. Let's go to Fall of America, chapter 32, real quick, and then we'll flip over to chapter 43. So we're looking at all of these wars that are expanding, all of this stuff that is going on. Muhammad says, the coming of Allah in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, was for the deliverance of the lost and found people, the black people, from a 400-year-old enemy who was never shown them who has never shown them anything but evil, murder, and death. Being very angry, see, God is not just mad. He's not just angry. Muhammad says, being very angry, as it is written of him, and as I know it to be the truth, he desires nothing more than freedom, justice, and equality for us, the once lost and now found black members of our nation, the original black nation of the earth. So, if this is God's aim and purpose, guess what's going to happen? You're going to receive freedom. You're going to receive justice. And you're going to receive equality for all of you who qualify. Because this is God's will. And nothing that they can do, there's no nation, no combination of nations, no military, no combination of militaries, no idea, no thought or combination of ideas or thoughts that can come against what God wills, especially in the day of God. These are no longer the days of Yaqub, the days of Adam, the days of America, the days of Europe, or the days of NATO. You have it in your Quran. These are the days of Allah. You have it in your Bible. These are the days of the Son of Man. So you better wake up to this. So Muhammad writes, and I'm not even talking on this, I'm just giving you what I want you to have in the context of what it is, because I'm trying to get to something else. Listen to this. America now is at war with God through God's people. Who is God's people? Muhammad puts in parentheticals, the so-called Negro. The confusion and the plagues of the country with disasters, one after another, is divine retaliation against the white America's evil doings and intentions, against her once slaves and her false friendship, which has her opening her homes to integrate the people of God with them who by nature are different or foreign. The white man has poisoned our people's minds so thoroughly that they fight against their own God and salvation to gain the favor of their own enemies. Isn't that a description of Mr. Obama? Isn't that a description of Lynch, the so-called attorney general? Isn't that a description of the majority of black people who are trying to give up themselves so that they can be accepted by white society? This is what I'm telling you. To call for brotherhood or for sisterhood against people who are diametrically opposed to the law of God, to the word of God, means for you to unite at this point in time, one of you would have to give up something. Because there must be a compromise here. If one is against something and the other one is for it, and you're talking about unifying, someone must give themselves, right? And because the people, and you know, the Negro can all, the Negro, the ignorant man out there in the streets, he can always get the righteous to do unrighteousness. But you him to come and do right. Right? You go on the street corner, you start talking to these people, and they start telling you how many women they want to sleep with and blah, blah, blah. And before you know it, to try to get their attention, you start going into the old memories of what you had before you was a civilized man or woman. You give them yourself. So there must be events that forces them to see that you're on the right path. You can't come to them like this. God has to bring them to you. This is how the unification process will take place. Because if right now you go and you unify with people who are not of like mind, somebody got to give of themselves regardless. Okay? So listen what Muhammad says. The call of Islam, the true religion of God to us, the once slaves of America, is the same call telling us to flee out of the American way of life so that our lives may be saved from the divine destruction of a non-repentant enemy. So when it says, come out of her, my people, it is talking about her way of life. Because you don't have no planes, you can't get out of America like that. And they have restrictions on you leaving anyhow now. So to come out of her, it's come out of her way of life, her religion, her name, and her culture, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. This is what the book is talking about. And so we go further, and Muhammad says, divine plagues and foreign wars are destroying the American standard of life and money. Stop right there. This is where we needed to be at, right here. Divine plagues. Look around America. Every time they take one of your lives, God hits them with a storm that causes more loss of life, more destruction of infrastructure, and costs more money to try not just to rebuild, but to clean up. And then they have search and rescue missions that cost millions. And think about one city after another city after another city in one state after another state after another state and have to receive federal money from the government, right? But how can the federal government maintain this when the federal government has to borrow from its enemies, Russia and China, in the East? Huh? Do you see divine plagues and foreign wars? What are the foreign wars? What is she doing in Africa? What is she doing in the Middle East? What is she doing in the South China Sea? What is she doing in the Baltics and in the Caucasus? Foreign wars. And this is destroying the purchasing power of America's dollar, bringing America into a situation of debt implosion. Right? These are the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is what you see. So we flip over to, God, man, time goes by so quick. My God. We flip over here to chapter 43, and we see in this, the chapter is titled, Plagued by God, America's Doom. So, if we look through this, the messenger says, this, we'll go down, we'll read the first three paragraphs, and then we'll try to get another clip in. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, when we're into real, real conversation, and when we're into real, real talk, time zooms by. But let's start this off. With the end of the rule of the white race over, the black, listen closely to this right here. With the end of the rule of the white race over the black people of the earth in sight. So when Muhammad wrote this, it was already in sight. Okay? Then he says, we got to have a sit down. We got to examine this stuff. He says, face to face, we have to deal with each other according to the actual facts. Not what you believe, but the actual facts, what's tangible on the ground, which exists between the two nations, black and white. On this show, what do we deal with? Huh? Are we not following the instructions of the Lamb of God? Are we not dealing with the actual facts and breaking them down for you so that you can get a thorough understanding of what is taking place and why it's taking place and for who it is taking place? Okay? He goes further and he says, with the nature and desire of the white race to continue their rule and subjection of the darker people, even though the white man recognizes these facts, he will continue to try holding on to his rule. He's not just going to give up. He knows he's losing Africa, but he's not going to give up. He knows he's losing in Europe, but he's not going to give up. He knows he has no future in Asia. He won't give up. Look at the Middle East. He won't give up. Look at over there in South and Central America and all of these British and French and U.S. territories down in the Caribbean. They know that they're losing their grip, but they won't give up. To give up means to accept death. And they're fighting like hell to preserve what little breath they have in the empire's body. News prophecy and the end of days. Muhammad says, with the nature and desire of the white race to continue their rule and subjection of the darker people, even though the white man recognizes these facts, he will continue to try holding on to his rule, his subjection, his thinking of what he has acquired under such rule, that which is his, and he cannot give up the prey, his concession, the merchandise which he has exploited out from under the noses and eyes of the real owners, the black man. So he was refusing to give up, even though the indigenous people are rising up in New Zealand. He's refusing to give that back. But Muhammad says all those lands are coming back to us. In Australia, the same thing. He's making mock of the indigenous people and refusing to give them justice. You look at the Dalits in India. They're refusing to give them justice under the caste system. Look at in the Caribbeans or the Atlantic and all of these islands from Bermuda down to the Caribs. All of these are occupied territories. They're part of colonial power. They have no foreign militaries. They have no militaries whatsoever. They have a semi-independent national policy, but they must bow to the national dictates of the colonial rulers of that island or those islands. The same with the nations in South and Central America. The same with Africa. The same with the Middle East. They're trying their best to hold their rule because God gave them dominion for 6 days or 6,000 years. But now we're at the end, and there's a movie that's similar in title. So we'll use the name Adam. But now, Adam must die. Adam must die. He can find no way around this one. So Muhammad says, for these things, he says, he is willing to shed the blood of his own people and that of others to hold on to that which he calls his legal possession. Isn't that what he's doing all around earth? Yet he's always talking about peace and stability, the international order, right? What order? Point around the world and tell me where there's order, where there's agreement, where there's no war. Because even if you can't see a physical war, there's an economic war being waged on all types of levels, black man and black woman. So war is everywhere. You can't run from this. What will it take to place the black man back on top of civilization? Muhammad, what will it take? Muhammad answers, it will take universal war. So this thing is universal. And we're watching the end of an era, an end of a people who has done nothing but rob and spoil and destroy, steal, rape, maim, kill, and occupy. It is time that God comes and put an end to this type of situation, this atmosphere under Yaqub. Because the people can't live in security. The people can't enjoy God's given rights to them when they are born into his creation. So God must remove that which hinders you from the natural thought, the natural way, the natural life. So he must remove the unnatural man, the unnatural man's world, the unnatural man's idea and his culture. He must destroy it and uproot it, lest we continue to toil in torment under his reign. We have a mighty God on the scene, black man and black woman. And this God who is on the scene will not be defeated. And America is doing all those things abroad because she's desperate at home. Black man and black woman, I want to ask you something. I really wasn't planning for a show, but since we on this, since I want to talk to you about these things, can I get an extra, we only have 5 minutes, can I get an extra 10 or 15 minutes? I want to play a couple clips for you since it's on my mind. Something told me to download these things to the dashboard just in case. So I want to talk to you, and I want to share something with you about the situation that is at hand with America and why she's lashing out all around the globe and why she's really taking her vengeance upon you. And I read it to you earlier what the messenger said, that the white man is mad at God, so he takes his anger out on God's elect, God's people. That's you and I. We are the chosen of God. And so since the white man can't lash out at God himself, he lashes out at God's beloved. But this brings him more and more to the judgment. And we see that this is something that is a worldwide phenomenon. And because these nations in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, have fornicated with the great whore, as we've said on many shows, they have gotten economic venereal disease, and they're burning like hell, and they're screaming for some type of penicillin to put the fire, but it won't go away, because this is the day that all of those who have fornicated with the great harlot of the world are revealed, and they will lose everything. I want you to listen to this 1 minute clip about the dire situation of all of the, and it comes as no coincidence that we're talking about the Western world, the Western economies, the Western nation. This is about a 1.5 minute clip about that. Then we're going to go from that to a 4.5 minute clip about the U.S. economy imploding. Okay, that's why I say give me about 15 more minutes with you, brothers and sisters, all right? And don't think harsh at me, because I love you with all my heart. But I want you to pay close attention to this 1 minute clip.
News. Now, today we can see the market down a little bit, gold holding steady right now, really not making those moves that we saw previous. And we're starting to see that many of the countries right now, they are reporting that their economies are slowing down. And we talked about Vancouver, we talked about the UK. And if we look at Australia right now, their retail spending growth, it is at its slowest annual pace in 3 years. Spending just rose by 0.1% in June. Figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics show below market expectations of growth of 0.3%. The biggest falls were felt in hardware, pharmaceuticals, cosmetics, the food section, and even alcohol. Those sales fell in June. Every country is going to be affected by what is happening. There's no escaping it. We see here in the United States, initial jobless claims, they're hovering at 43-year lows. They moved up a little bit. And we can see that Challenger Gray and Christmas, for the second consecutive month, we're seeing a rise in layoffs.
And then we tell you what he said. This man is telling you something. He says, all of the nations will be affected by this. There's no escaping this. This is what the messenger said. He said, the only way, you have to submit to me and my God and follow close to me. Some of you don't want to hear that because you have it in your mind that you'll be able to go to a great land somewhere and escape. You've got to go through these things. You've got to be purified just like the rest of us. You got to be purged of this madness in your head and in your heart just like the rest of us. God ain't going to take you out and leave us in. Lest the people would say, they would have fallen, they would have fallen under the precious coat. The Bible tells you that that was an argument that they wanted to use, but God allowed his elect to go through the fire. Don't you see how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though we know that's not their real names, that's the names that the slave masters gave to them, had to go through the fire with Daniel, right? They couldn't just be freed and walk to a safety zone. They had to realize that the safety zone, no matter if they were in the fire or in the water, the safety zone was in the bosom of the messenger of God at that time, in the bosom of the messenger of God at this time. I hope you understand. Well, if you don't, let's go back to something. All right? This is what Elijah Muhammad says. Let us submit to him and live in peace with money and good homes and with the friendship of God and the righteous. There is nothing that you have to fear today but God himself. I don't care what the devil is doing out there. I don't care how he's coming against you. I don't care what the situation looks like. I want you to understand, don't pay attention to the conditions. Pay attention to the promise of God. Don't take your eyes off the prize. Muhammad says there is nothing that you have to fear today but God himself. It is useless. But a white man is killing us. A white man is doing this. Muhammad says, it is useless for us to fear our enemy after the coming and the presence of our God, who has power over the very atoms of life. For it is fear of the white man that will cause our people to eat the fire of hell with the white man if they do not recognize the fact that it is God whom they should fear and not the devil. You hear that? The world of the white man is now crumbling and coming to naught. The safety of the black man is not in a piece of land. It's not in a building. It's not on a territory that God has not pronounced to you. The safety of the black man, Muhammad says, is in his God. As the Holy Quran teaches us, in this day and time, seek refuge in Allah, the God of the black man. He, not they, not them, not us, not we, and not it, but he is the only place of refuge. You see, this is what I'm trying to get over to the people, but because their mind is stuck in this, in this mindset of, I believe a lot of them are, I'm trying to be politically correct with, because I don't want to, at this point, I don't want to alienate our brothers and sisters. I just want them to understand that you give the white man too much credit. You give the white man too much power. And the reason you give it to him is because you're not yet secure in the power of the God who has come to destroy him. You can talk about how Master Farad Muhammad is this. You can put all that out on Facebook, Twitter, and all of that stuff. But your actions show that you have not yet rooted yourself in the power of divine, and that you're not confident enough in the God to deliver on what he said he was going to deliver. I believe Elijah Muhammad, the last and the greatest messenger of God. I believe every word that he spoke, and I can prove it to you on a daily basis, and I stand before the entire world saying, if you got anything that you think you can disprove Elijah Muhammad with, come on, let's rock and roll. 347-989-0855. We don't scream. You think about how a person has to be so close to the messenger of God to be able to stand on a platform day in and day out and challenge the entire world of man and scholars to dispute anything that Elijah Muhammad. I'm not just talking about some little thing over here. I'm talking anything. If you think you got it, come on and bring it. And we'll see where it goes from there. This is showing you that I truly believe and I know that Elijah Muhammad is who he says he is. I believe in the power of his God to bag me. I believe these things, and I'm willing to stand on them till I die, till the casket drop, and till the hole is covered. This is true. But you don't get an understanding of these things because we are so arrogant. We are so haughty and high-minded in the nothingness. And we follow certain people whom we may have a lot of respect for, and we dishonor truth sometimes because we rather have the brothership or a brotherhood or the sisterhood or the friendship of that person. Hey, I'm like what Saladin used to always tell me. He said, brother, this is a battle. You better be man enough to stand on your own and rely solely on Allah. Stay firmly rooted in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you got to be a guerrilla fighter. The guerrilla warriors can hold out no matter how long they're dropped in the middle of enemy territory. They don't need a whole bunch of people. They're survivalists. I believe that. So whether it's one person or 1 million people, I'm going to proclaim it to the entire world that Master Farad Muhammad is the Savior. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the world. I'm going to proclaim it loud and clear so the whole world can hear. that Elijah Muhammad, the honorable, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, is the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles and messengers of God. I'm going to yell it loud and clear. If you think you got something that can disprove it, bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. And all who can't dance, clap your hands to it. Brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful music sheet that is playing over the air of Blog Talk Radio. You have a beautiful message from the most beautiful messenger given to him by the most beautiful God to ever live. Don't you throw this in the mud. You latch hold to Elijah Muhammad. And don't you ever let go, regardless to what and regardless to whom. Because this is your life, and it is the safety of your life and the safety of your family's lives. And don't, even if you don't think much of yourself, what about your children? What about your parents? I know it's something that you love bigger than yourself. And what I'm saying to you is this. If what I'm saying holds no weight, surely it can be disproved. Surely. But if what I'm saying holds weight, will you please just examine what we're saying on this show? Regardless of your religious affiliation, honor truth above all things. You understand? News, prophecy, and the end of days. So as we talk, brothers and sisters, look at this. Time is going on. I love talking to my people because I don't get a chance because this devil is always messing with the show, always cutting us off, always blocking the show. But I want you to listen closely to this about the American economy, and I'm not going to hold you long after this, brothers and sisters. I had some more stuff that I wanted to share with you, but I feel your patience. Give me this 5 minutes to play this clip and then come and wrap it up, and then we'll do some more stuff on the next show, okay? Listen closely to this clip here by the X22 report about America's economy.
Second consecutive month, we're seeing a rise in layoffs. Now, we know the United States, they got rid of that department. They're not counting layoffs at this point. Back in 2013, they didn't have the budget to keep that department open. So they closed it. So we refer to Challenger Gray and Christmas. But we can see right now that all of these individuals that want to work, they're having a problem finding that job. All the individuals that are getting laid off, they're either getting part-time jobs or no work at all. This is why we're seeing what we're seeing in the economy. We're seeing retail contract, GDP declining. Even when it's manipulated, they can't manipulate it enough to make it even look good. And we see other indicators, the housing bubble popping. We're seeing millennials. They're living paycheck to paycheck. They don't even have enough to pay for their student loans. This is how bad it is. I mean, take the case of this 21-year-old recent graduate from Temple University. She says that by the time she retires, she doesn't even know if she can have $1 million in her retirement fund. Now, she landed a full-time job as an account coordinator at Philadelphia Magazine and works other jobs on the side just to pay her student loans. The one job, she's not making enough money. She lives at home. This tells us that the system is breaking down. She even says, I hate my student loans. Because of them, she says she isn't able to move out as soon as she would like. And after paying off the student loan each month, she has hardly any money to spend on anything. Which is odd because the White House was out there praising the student loan industry, telling everyone that it has no effect on the economy whatsoever. What is clear is that 64% of working millennials say they will never accumulate $1 million in retirement savings over their lifetime. And another study reports 54% of millennial women reported they live paycheck to paycheck compared to 43% of men. I mean, that's almost half. This is absolutely awful. And then we look at other indicators in the economy. Class 8 trucking. They just dropped and imploded. They're abysmal. Now, Class 8 truck orders for July came in at 10,500, which is down 57% year-on-year and 19% sequentially compared to June. July marked the 17th consecutive month of year-on-year declines and the lowest reading since February 2010. Now, we have other information here, and it's quite shocking, is that July orders were 77% lower than the peak shipping month recorded in October 2014. And what we're seeing right now is that the industry has been hit with cancellation orders. And there are too many trucks chasing too little freight. So when we look at this, we see that this Class 8 trucking, it is declining. Freight shipments in the United States peaked in December of 2014 and have been on the decline ever since. Then we look at factory orders. It doesn't get any better. U.S. factory orders, they plunged by 5.6% year-on-year. This is the worst drop since September of 2015. This extends the period of an annual contraction of about 20 months or so. This is a record streak of declines in U.S. history. And it coincides with, yes, a recession / depression. And when we look at this, we can see that we are headed in that direction. If we go back to 2008, 2009, we're at that point already. And it doesn't look good. It looks absolutely awful going forward.
You see this? Brothers and sisters, give me 5 more minutes. Your time, I looked down and saw a clip that I wanted to share with you. But listen to this. He said it doesn't look good for them. They see the end of their world coming. They see all of the signs pointing towards the total collapse and implosion of their world. And the reason I say give me 5 more minutes is because this clip that I want to play go hand in hand and adds the extra oomph to what you just heard. And it will help you to understand that the system is not only in trouble, the system is dying and it is feeding upon itself and feeding upon the people whom the system was actually designed to help and maintain. So they see it all falling apart, and they're talking to each other. They're scared, but we knew that this day would come. And so God is on the scene today, and he's forcing the collapse of the financial world that was built and maintained by whites. The white privilege days are over. I want you to listen close. This is about 4 minutes and 40-some seconds, so I want you to listen good to this clip here. If they don't bother, you know how they do.
Good. It looks absolutely awful going forward. Out in the UK, the people are very worried about what is happening. And what we're seeing is that people are hoarding cash right now. They're taking their currency out of the bank, and they're placing it someplace in their house. So they're hoarding currency. They're nervous about the banking system. They know rates are going to be cut. There might be even bail-ins. And people are very, very nervous about what's happening. And we know that the system cannot sustain itself. I mean, the people around the world, they're starting to realize what's going on here, just like the people in Greece, where they elected a new president, prime minister, Tsipras, and he went out and did the opposite of what he promised. People saw that the economy was collapsing. They saw there's going to be more austerity. And people ran to the bank and took their currency out of the bank because they had this feeling that there were going to be capital controls, maybe even bail-ins. There still might be. Greece is a complete disaster. I mean, the IMF has just admitted that they have not made the situation any better. Actually, they've made it worse. And we're starting to see that many countries now are looking at the situation, many people in the countries are looking at the situation, and they're saying to themselves, maybe I should take some currency and hide it someplace. Maybe I should buy some gold and silver to ensure my wealth. And this is what everyone should do. I mean, I do it. I only keep enough to pay for the electric, to pay for water. Everything else, I place in other places outside of the banking system. I also have my physical gold and silver on hand just in case I need it. Make sure you have access to it. And we understand at this point that as things continually deteriorate, it's not going to improve. Actually, we've been watching this. It has not improved. The only thing that's gotten better sometimes is the stock market. It's gone up, people feel good. It's come down, people feel bad. But every other economic indicator that we've been watching has continually declined. And we don't want to end up in the situation that the people in Venezuela are in. I mean, it has gone from bad to worse to complete chaos down in Venezuela. I mean, people are standing in line for 12 hours hoping there will be food to buy that day. There's rioting, there's looting. It's common there. Actually, people are resorting to going to the zoos and slaughtering animals. And they've done this to a black stallion horse. They slaughtered it for meat. And previously in the zoo, they've gone ahead and they went after pigs and other type of animals to eat. This is how bad the situation is, and it is not getting any better. And you don't want to end up in the crowd of people running around trying to find food for your family. And I've said this before, the economy is like a ticking time bomb. While it's ticking down, everything seems great. Until it hits zero, that's when we have the problem. And of course, everyone wakes up when it hits zero because we have the big boom. And when we hear this big boom, people don't know what to do. And we've seen this before. And this is why you all need to be prepared. Don't wait for the last minute. Whatever you can get now, get it. You'll be happy later on. You'll be happy that you have your water, your food, your weapon, your gold, your silver, your currency. You'll be happy that you took those steps to say, well, thank God I did that. At least I have something here. And when you look out your window and you see the craziness, you can say, okay, I did the right thing.
But I want to correct him when he's talking about Venezuela. Yes, that is going on, but it is not going on over the whole nation. The white man will make it seem like this whole thing, the whole nation of Venezuela is like that. It's in a certain section of the country that relies on imports and exports and all of this stuff like that. And with the sanctions that America has on Venezuela and with the economic blocks it has on Venezuela, this is causing a situation the same as what they did in Zimbabwe. The same as what they've done all across Africa trying to destroy it. But what they're seeing, what God is showing America is that area, that section of Venezuela is a microcosm of what is going on in America. Think about this. Venezuela doesn't even make 3% or 0.1% or I think it's 0.4% of the GDP, not even a full percent of global GDP, right? And we're looking at the situation that is in hand. Now think about a country that is the main engine of global GDP, with more debt than all of the other nations on earth combined, and more debt than any nation in the history of the world. Think about the situation, the explosive situation that is coming to America, that is in America. This is like having a house and pouring gasoline everywhere, putting all kinds of fumes in your house, and then you take a cigarette lighter and say you're going to calm your nerves, and you're sitting there, you're dazed and confused with all the fumes, and then you spark up your cigarette lighter to smoke a cigarette. What happens? What happens when you spark it up? Boom goes to dynamite. This is what is on the near horizon for America. Brothers and sisters, remember this. Examine the words that I have said to you and that I always say to you, and put them on the scale of facts and weigh them, and see whether or not your brother is in line with Bethany Barman, and see whether or not your brother is in line with truth and with history and with geology and geopolitics and with everything that is happening world event-wise. Weigh them, and then do the same thing to everybody else that comes to you. And then you'll see what is factual and who is on time and who is right. And then you'll get a chance to grab hold to the greatest and the strongest handle that one could grab hold to, the messenger of God. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the upliftment, redemption, and liberation of 68 million of our kind, first here in the hells of North America, and then for the billions of our kind around the world, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you. But always remember that my love always pales in comparison to the divine God who has come in person, and to his messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and to the mighty, mighty, mighty Nation of Islam. Until we next meet again, stay strong, stay true, and stay black. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day the road we take. All feels now with
boundaries. When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.